is the Fargo-Moorhead Symphony Orchestra, recorded in 2018, doing Cal Jader's Mambo Mindoro with Kenyon Williams on steel pan and Christopher Zimmerman at the baton. And out front, greeting patrons and also backstage, making sure the whole complex enterprise that is a symphonic concert is running properly, was Linda Boyd, the symphony's executive director. She actually was director from 1993 to 96. She left for other work and returned in 2007 until now. Now she's leaving. And to celebrate, not to celebrate her leaving, but her tenure, the symphony is putting on a roast tomorrow night, Friday, at the Delta by Marriott, $35, to benefit the Kids in the Concert Hall Fund. Linda came in to talk, and since her term is ending, I asked her how it started.
Sure. I grew up in Jamestown, and my degrees are in music, but vocal music, choral music from MSUM. And I kind of, after teaching and directing some choirs and finding some like one-year jobs, sabbatical replacement kinds of things, I had an opportunity and was encouraged to apply to be executive director of the Arts Council at the time. It was called Lake Agassiz Arts Council. It's now known as the Arts Partnership. And that was my first job in arts administration. I really enjoyed it. So when the symphony job opened up, I thought, well, this is an opportunity to really put all the things together that I really enjoy doing. And it has really been an incredible career. You know, arts administration really does bring all sorts of things together, not just your knowledge of the subject matter, how much you know about music, but certainly meeting with people, doing programming. I do all the graphic design, grant writing. It's just a very satisfying field of work.
Well, and so you are, you're not directly personally making art, but you're kind of facilitating art? Is that the way?
Sure. Yes, I don't play in the orchestra, but being, and having a part, playing a role in coming up with the programming, the music director and I, Christopher Zimmerman, work very collaboratively in coming up with how do we put pieces together and themes together that'll be make for a satisfying musical experience, but will also bring people into the hall. You know, we really try to program each concert as if knowing that it's somebody's first concert, and also understanding that it's for some in the hall, it's their last. We have patrons who have been lifelong lovers of music and supporters of the Fargo-Moorhead Symphony.
Well, yeah, that was one of the things I wanted to ask about programming. And when, if you get just scratch the surface at all of orchestra programming, and well, it's probably the same for a 80s cover band, you know, it's like the hits versus new stuff.
You hit the point perfectly in that any listener of music likes familiar stuff. So if I go, you know, like people just listen to Celine Dion at the Fargo Dome, yeah. Read the review. And I imagine they had the same experience as people who come to the concert hall, which is when you see an artist in front of you performing a piece that you know, it just resonates with you. You just, it's thrilling. You know the piece, and it really heightens your enjoyment. Then if you hear one of your favorite artists doing something that's completely new, when you're listening to a piece of music for the first time and it, as the performance unfolds, you're taking in completely new information. And while that can be kind of exciting and thrilling, it's just not the same as listening to a piece you're familiar with. It's just a different kind of enjoyment, a different kind of experience. So it's always a balance. I mean, I quit college the first time to play in a band, and it was a cover band. and we would do some stuff that was kind of off the wall and not very familiar. So it's the same kind of approach. How do you create a program that is going to be satisfying for the audience, get them coming back? And so it is a mix. Sometimes what we find is that you use a familiar piece of music not just to get people in the hall and bait and switch, but to really give context to whatever you're doing that's new. So, for example, we did one concert a few years ago, and the theme was music on fire. So we did Stravinsky's Firebird. which is very thrilling and fairly familiar. We did Manuel de Falla's Ritual Fire Dance, which sounds like kind of an esoteric piece, but if you hear it, it's like, oh my gosh, I've heard that. It's probably been used in movies and ads and so forth. And then we did a completely new piece called Cyberbird, so we paired that up with Firebird. But it was actually kind of a jazzy concerto for saxophone and piano and percussion. So it with that kind of fiery theme going on, and then we do this kind of jazzy thing, then your ears and your experience, you're ready to take in something new, and you've got some context, something to pin it on. And then we finished with the Pines of Rome, which just has such a huge ending. It's like the concert hall is going to blow up. So it was fantastic.
Well, you talked about the audience and them responding. What's your sense of the audience? Has it changed over the years, the audience for a symphony orchestra?
You know, it's interesting. When I was at the symphony for the first time in the early 90s, and they had been doing a bunch of audience studies in the late 80s. So this is, 30 years ago? And they were talking about, audiences are dying off, and symphony orchestras are an anachronism, and they're not going to survive, and And so I think they've been saying that for decades. But what we have found is our audiences are larger now than they were in the 90s. And so I think what we understand is that that kind of art form and a lot of live art forms, like whether it's dance or opera or symphony orchestras or cover bands, they're all tapping into the same thing, which is it is thrilling watching people perform right in front of you at a really high level of excellence. It's just a, it just taps into a human response. And so I tell my board quite often, I want the Fargo Moorhead Symphony Orchestra to be the NDSU Bison football of the arts community, where it's a thrilling experience. You see excellence unfold right in front of you. Everything from the time you walk in the door. We have our own version of tailgating. We now have beverage service in the hall, in the lobby. And so we just want the whole experience to be something like, man, I got to have a ticket for that.
And do you have a sense of, is the audience changed in the age demographics, in the economic demographics, anything
sure.
like that?
I think it's been fairly stable, which means we're replenishing our young audiences, and we're making very intentional efforts towards that. We have a really thriving young professionals group that's only open to people in their 20s and 30s. So we have kind of networking wine tasting parties and then discounted tickets to the symphony. And so what I think they have found in studies, and I've kind of kept up with what our industry is doing for studies, is that if you get people when they're young, and so we start when students are in junior and senior high. We've got vouchers that their music teachers can give them to get them to the concerts. Certainly the colleges, you know, rush tickets and going out into the schools to connect with them. And if the kids themselves have had musical experiences, like they play in orchestra in school or in band or even choir, they're much more likely to come and enjoy it because they understand that experience of being in an ensemble. And then you go see a professional one and it's like, whoa. So if they're young adults and now it's kind of a cool thing to do on a date, I think young adults now are really open to different kinds of experiences. When people say, oh, people are only in front of their screens. No, I think they're looking for a break from that, something that's really visceral and real, because they probably do spend all day in front of a screen. So that if you get them when they're at that age, we'll see that they disappear when they're parents with young kids. Life just gets too complicated and that becomes the focus of your life. But if you've been a part of their life when they were younger, they'll come back. And so we'll see people when their kids are in high school or empty nesters, then the symphony becomes something they really look forward to. And so we're just seeing that continuum continue to play out.
I'm talking with Linda Boyd, and she is the executive director of the Fargo-Moorhead Symphony Orchestra. She's retiring, and they're having a roast for her Friday night at 6 at Delta by Marriott, and it benefits a fund for helping young people learn more about classical music. We're going to hear a little bit now from the Fargo-Moorhead Symphony Orchestra, just a taste to get some music in here since we're talking so much about music. This is La Gresca with Kenyon Williams on tenor steel pan with the orchestra. So, continuing my talk with Linda Boyd, you know, you were talking about, oh, in the 80s, they were doing these studies and the orchestras were going to all fade away and stuff. And, you know, there is this critique that a symphony orchestra is like a living museum or something, you know, because it is, it's an old format or an old paradigm. I don't know what you want to call it.
Sure. You know, it's so interesting how the symphony orchestra, without getting too nerdy about it, the symphony orchestra itself has really changed over the hundreds of years. So if you're playing a piece that was written in the 1600s, early 1700s, there's a lot fewer people on the stage. There's not a whole crowd of winds and brass because they just didn't have those enormous orchestras. It was mostly kind of a small string orchestra with a horn or an oboe here and there. And then as the years went on and it kind of hit the real heyday of symphony orchestra writing in the what we call the Romantic period at like the 1800s and late 1800s, where you have Tchaikovsky and Rachmaninoff and the big, luscious, gorgeous, rich, huge orchestras. And we still perform those pieces. So if you go to a Fargo-Moorhead Symphony concert, how many people are on the stage depends on what music we're playing. So, and that's also a budget thing. So sometimes when we play these big, enormous pieces, it's like, well, Chris, you get to do one of those a year. So we really do have hundreds of years of repertoire to choose from, and it is all very different. So we have a concert coming up when we're doing three pieces that will be quite contrasting, but they all have the same thing, same theme, which is the sea. So we'll have this big kind of bleak, evocative music written by an English composer, Benjamin Britten, from the 20th century that was part of an opera, like sea interludes, but it's very kind of brooding and dramatic. And then Claude Debussy, who is known as this big, probably the most famous French Impressionist composer, he used music kind of like the French Impressionist painters used colors, kind of dabs and shimmering veils of sound, kind of evocative, really dreamy kind of stuff. So you get the same thing in when you go to symphony orchestra concerts that you do when you go to art museums, which is you can experience pieces that were written in all these different time periods that are still, they can still resonate with you today. So, and then, like you say, there's still orchestra music being written today. And I think there's something about the combination of those instruments that has made it enduring. So when some of our most favorite music or movies, whether it's movies for a general audience or music or movies for children, you know, like the Star Wars saga or mm-hmm. Toy Story or whatever, they still rely on symphony orchestras for those soundtracks. You know, John Williams has made a career out of it. And before that, Eric Korngold, all these, Bernard Herrmann made their careers writing music in Hollywood because there's still something that a full symphony orchestra, it's like you have the entire palette, every color imaginable at your disposal. So there might be passages where it's a solo cello or a horn and an oboe. And then there's others where it's all the percussion and everybody. It's just such a broad scope of material that you can work with. I think that's why composers still enjoy writing for symphony orchestras. It's why people still love hearing them perform because it's just a world of sound.
And well, now in the 60s, people used to say, well, that'll all be done electronically in the future. Uh-huh. You won't need an orchestra. You can just synthesize it all.
Sure. Well, it's like saying you don't really have to go to a football game because there's all these video games now. You can just enjoy whatever game you want on your screen. Well, it's not the same, you know, and it's not that people don't enjoy playing video games, and there's a lot of symphony orchestras making money recording soundtracks for these incredibly complex video games. But then there's always the human element that I think we will always find a way to come back to. It's not either or. You know, there's a lot of great synthesized music out there and a lot of artists doing really interesting things with completely electronic music, but it hasn't displaced human beings yet. Mm-hmm. There's still something so thrilling about watching someone play an instrument at that level and watching their fingers fly and the bow flying and hearing the music that comes pouring out of this one individual in front of you able to do something at that level. I think will always be thrilling.
Huh. Speaking of thrilling, being the head of an organization, I'm talking to Linda Boyd, the outgoing executive director of the Fargo-Moorhead Symphony Orchestra. I know, being director of radio at Prairie Public, there are some moments where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm pulling my hair out. This is a disaster. Have you had some?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there are times when, you know, I sweat bullets every season wondering if, you know, if we're going to sell enough tickets to make our budget, if we're going to do this. You know, there are some things you try to pull together that are kind of a high wire act. Every summer, our big fundraising event of the year, our only event-based fundraising these days, is when the Fargo-Moorhead Symphony combined with Post-Traumatic Funk Syndrome, which is a 12-piece funk band.
It has some
symphony members in it, absolutely. We perform a show called Symphony Rocks every August outdoors with all these amazing instruments. And so just keeping the rain away, I feel like I do that personally with just the power of my mind. It's like, not today, it's not gonna rain. And we've been lucky for 10 years. So far, so good. I'm leaving on an up note. you know, just pulling that off, you know, doing sound outside is complicated.
Oh, yeah.
The one year we tried to do fireworks, it was a horrible mishap. So yeah, there are those days.
Well, we have to do the counterweight then. What are some of the best things? What are some of the things you're proudest of?
Oh my gosh. Every concert, I feel like, oh, this is my favorite one. It's one of those experiences. You know, it is so satisfying working with the people I get to work with, whether it's just the small but mighty staff in the office. There's just three of us incredible women that do the work to keep things going, to all the musicians, many of whom are my dear closest friends, to music director Christopher Zimmerman. So when our previous music director retired, Bernie Rubenstein, and he gave us, you know, a couple years' notice because it's a long process. So we received 140 applications from conductors all over the world to be the new conductor of the Fargo-Moorhead Symphony. So the year that we...
And, you know, that partly reflects my impression and my limited experiences. The Fargo-Moorhead Symphony, given the size of the community and all, is pretty good.
It's a very fine orchestra. The level of musicianship and the level of performance is really astonishing. It's a professional orchestra and performs all the repertoire just beautifully. So, and that says a lot about the talent pool we have, the advantage we have of having three colleges, universities with strong music departments, and just the value people place on music and the arts in this region, then it makes it possible to have an ensemble of that quality. But Christopher Zimmerman, we had in the season 2012-13, the five finalists each presented a concert, and Chris was chosen. He's originally from London, and he lives in Washington, D.C. He's also music director of the Fairfax Symphony in D.C. So he flies out here for concert week, and the rehearsals are just one compressed week every evening. And he has really brought out the best performances out of this orchestra. And the musicians are crazy about him, and it's just been music making at a level that we had never seen before. So that's been a thrill.
Well, it seems like a great time to retire.
It feels real good. and I still love the job. I love everything about it. I just have an opportunity now to go someplace warm in the winter. And after last winter, I'm thinking that's not a bad idea. I have a new granddaughter, but she and her family live in India. So oh. I need to do some traveling, and I need more than 2 or 3 weeks a year to take it all in. So I think it's time to let some new ideas, new energy come in. And we've got the whole organization is in such a good place. I feel really proud of that, that I really feel like I'm handing off something wonderful. And it's a good time to go. I'll certainly be around Fargo-Moorhead most of the year. I serve on a couple of boards, so I can dig into that a little bit, a little more time to do some of the things I love, like painting and gardening and cooking for people.
Hey, you can go to a concert and have a glass of wine beforehand and just
I know,
sit in there
just
seat.
Relax. Yeah. It's like, wow, don't have to worry about a thing.
Linda Boyd, outgoing executive director of the Fargo-Moorhead Symphony Orchestra. Her roast, if you want to go to it, I think it's $35.
Yeah.
And that's at 6 o'clock Friday night at Delta by Marriott. And that sounds like it'll be fun. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, Bill.
We'll hear some of the orchestra on our way out. But first, let me say you can find out more at fmsymphony.org. I'm Bill Thomas at Prairie Public. This is the Fargo-Moorhead Symphony doing In the South by Edward Elgar.